wire. Yes, didn't it tell you it's wonderful when other people pray, because although Sandra says she's no good at it, she's brilliant at it. And I think everyone's brilliant at it in their own way. Yeah, and you always get something different and something special when somebody comes up to pray. So thank you, Sandra. We have, just before Easter, we had finished the series on Elijah, and we'd entitled that, if you remember, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And we're starting a new series, but we decided to stay with the same sort of theme. We're looking at some of the prophets, and we're looking at Elisha, who was the guy who took over from Elijah. Remember, he's the guy that basically wouldn't let God take Elijah to heaven. He kept following him around everywhere. And until Elijah eventually said, listen, what is it you want? And he says, I just want the blessing that you have. In fact, I want double the blessing you have. And that's what he got. And through the series, we're looking at Elisha. We're saying that following Jesus isn't all doom and gloom. Or where do we start? Where do I start? Because I was brought up in such a way that, number one, everybody who was involved in the church that I went to, that I knew of, to my best of knowledge, were sincere. They were doing the best they could. My parents were sincere, did the best they could. However, I grew up believing that Christianity was all doom and gloom. I associated Christianity with the source of doom and gloom in my life. Everything revolved, you know, Sunday was my most dreaded day of the week. I used to lie in bed in the morning, and I'm nearly going to say praying. Well, I probably was praying, Lord, let Mum and Dad sleep in this morning, so that we don't have to go to church. I hated it. And it's only very, very recently that I have realized just how much I hated it as a child. And this association with God, with church, with doom and gloom. We were doing the parable this morning in Sunday school. Not the parable at all. The miracle of Jesus, when he healed the crippled woman, when he placed his hands, when he said to the woman, you be set free, and placed his hands on her, and she stood bolt upright. The thing about the story was the Pharisees, the ruler of the synagogue, got all upset because this would have happened on the Sabbath. Now, when I was preparing that, I just thought, you see, if that had happened in the church that I was being brought up in, they would have done exactly the same. They would have shooed the people out, going, stop disturbing us on a Sunday. You're not allowed to do exciting things on a Sunday. Sunday's a day of doom and gloom. And that's very much how I perceived. Now, a lot of this is in the perception of a child. This is how I perceived it when I was growing up. And I can tell you, if there wasn't a reality to God, if God wasn't real, if it's all made up, I would have been the last person that would ever have become a Christian. Because everything about it in my childhood put me off it. So it's testimony to how real God is and how real the good news of the gospel is, the fact that I ever became a Christian. It's a testimony to the fact that following Jesus ain't all doom and gloom. Or I certainly would never have come to Jesus. But we're going to look at a story from Elisha's life. And it's found in 2 Kings chapter 4. And some of the stories in Elijah's life were spectacular. Some of the stories, not necessarily in the same way, in Elisha's life are spectacular as well. A lot of them are a lot more sort of intimate. So 2 Kings chapter 4, and starting at verse 1. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. So, this is the situation this woman finds herself in. Happily married. Well, it doesn't say she was happily married. Married with two children, two boys. And her husband dies, but her husband had debts. And the debt collectors are coming. And basically, the only thing that she has in the world is her sons. And so her sons will be taken away as payment for that debt. And she's coming to Elisha, saying, Elisha, help me. Elisha replied to her, verse 2. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a little oil. Elisha said, go round, ask all your neighbors for empty jars, and don't ask for just a few. So basically, go find every single empty jar in the village, is what Elisha's telling this woman. Then, go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there's not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. This is a truly amazing story. And it's one of those stories in the Bible that's not all grand. It's not all about whole nations. It's not about great wars of the nations. It's not about the important people of this world. It's just about this little... Well, it doesn't say she's little. It's just about this widow with her two sons who's in the stook. She's about to lose her children into slavery. And she goes to the man of God and says, Elisha, I need your help. And one of the things that we got to realize is that following Jesus isn't all about words. See, sometimes we associate it all, everything about Jesus with the church. With what happens within these four walls. And most of what happens in these four walls is singing and speaking. That's the majority of the things that happen here within these four walls. And so we associate Jesus and following Jesus with words. It's the words that we sing and it's the words that somebody preaches from the front. But a prophet, and you would very much associate a prophet with words. A prophet is somebody who brings a message from God. But the message from God is never just a message of words. God isn't just bringing words to you. The Bible isn't just a book of words. It is so much more than words. It's the message behind the words that is important. And so when Elisha came to answer this woman, he didn't answer her just with words. He brought a message from God to this woman that had power. And that had substance to it. The substance was the miracle that happened behind closed doors. And I love the fact that it happened behind closed doors. I love the fact that it didn't happen out in the marketplace where this woman was going, you know, watch what's happening here. And she could have charged people to see the miracle and paid off her debts that way. No, the message was to go in, shut the door behind you and your sons. This is God being intimate with this woman. And with her two sons. This was their miracle. This was the miracle that he gave to them. This was the message that he gave to this woman who was in trouble. She was in debt. She couldn't pay this debt. And God provided for her. Wonderful one. Like you would love to have seen what was going on in behind those closed doors. Where the doom and gloom slowly went, you know, they were probably slowly burning the jars across, going, will we get a second one here, Mum, do you think? And the second one went in and the oil kept pouring. And then, you know, the people, they would start to realize, Mom, this is a miracle going on here. There's something supernatural happening. This oil isn't running out. And the woman would be going, I know. Just keep bringing me the jars. And the jars upon jars until there was none left. And this wasn't just a wee small miracle. This wasn't about, you know, you sometimes hear the stories, especially, you know, missionaries and stuff who are low on money and they get the check in through the post just from the out of the blue, or somebody hands them the wee wad of money that gets them through the next week. This was a major life-changing miracle for this family. It paid off all their debts. The message from God, you see, isn't a message just of words. The message of God is a message of good news. It's a message that goes far beyond words. It's the message of substance and of power that lies behind the words that is the wonder that comes from God. Bringing the message of God isn't all about words. And it's the same throughout the Bible. You know, the greatest prophet in the Old Testament was Moses. His message from God wasn't words. There was plenty of them. There was plenty of words, you know. Go through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, plenty of words. But the message was more than words. It was deliverance. God, through the prophet Moses, delivered the people out of Egypt, brought them through across the Red Sea, then through the wilderness for 40 years. The message of God brought them into the promised land across the Jordan. The message of God is never just about words. And the message that lies behind the words of power and of substance is a message of good news. It's a message of salvation. It's a message of deliverance. It's a message of being set free. That message that Jesus brought to that crippled woman in the Sunday school this morning, it wasn't just a message of words. He spoke words to her. But those words had power, and they transformed that woman's life. And Jesus said, "Be set free." Moses, I said, greatest prophet of the Old Testament. Jesus, of course, the greatest prophet of the New Testament, and not just a prophet, as we know, but the Son of God. His message was all about that. His message wasn't just a message of words. It was a message of words, but there was so much more power and substance behind his message than that. The greatest part of his message was done in silence, virtual silence. He said a few things on the cross, but he was led like a lamb to the slaughter that opened not its mouth. That message spoke more than words could ever speak. And Elisha, similarly in this story, doesn't bring tidings of doom and gloom to this woman. He brings tidings, as the angel said about the birth of Jesus, tidings of great joy to this woman. And that joy that would never be forgotten, as long as that family lived, that joy would never be forgotten, what God saved them from. I think, you know, we talk about the gospel and we talk about preaching the gospel. But the good news of the gospel is so much more than just words. And I know for a fact, from my testimony, that if there wasn't a power in that message, if there wasn't a substance in the message of God, I would never have come to God. Because as I said, as a child, I got put off God enough for life. I got put off Christianity enough for life. If there wasn't actually substance, if there wasn't a reality to the love of God, if he wasn't real, I would not have come to him. The message, the gospel, is good news, but it's real good news that has an impact in our life. Part of that message is the setting free of people. Setting people free from captivity. None of us are in captivity. None of us probably were in captivity when we were saved, physically speaking. But we were all in captivity. We all, just like this woman, we all had a debt that we couldn't pay. The debt of sin. And that debt is death. That's the message of doom and gloom. The message of this world is the message of doom and gloom. Following this world is doom and gloom because it ends in death. It's full of sin, and the wages of sin is death, and that is the message of doom and gloom. The message of Jesus is you have been saved from the gospel of doom and gloom, from the message of doom and gloom. Preaching the gospel, it has a real impact. And when I look at the life of Jesus and how he told people the good news about the good news, and he showed people the good news by setting people free from the captivity to Satan physically, you know, from their diseases, from their illnesses, from the demon possession. And more than that, he reached out to people on the very margins of society and gave them value. He gave them worth. He treated them as he would treat anybody. He treated them better than probably they'd ever been treated in their lives. He gave them worth. He loved people. He helped people. He cared for people. He cried with people. He rejoiced with people. He drew alongside people. The message of the gospel is not just about the words, though it is words, but it's a message of substance and a message of power that has a real impact in everybody's life that it touches. Personally speaking, it's taken an awful lot of time for me to separate God away from the doom and gloom of how I envisaged him in my childhood. And I still fall for some of the tricks that the devil throws at me, the sort of hooks that he gets me with. A lot of them being religious hooks that get you into a religious way of thinking, and you feel the doom and gloom coming back. But the deep joy that I experience has to be said, it's nearly always like this woman's joy. It's nearly always experienced behind closed doors. It's nearly always experienced when I'm on my own with God. And that, I'm not talking about happiness. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm sad. Sometimes I'm angry, sometimes I'm whatever. But a deep joy in knowing God. A deep joy in the presence of God. In the reality of God in my life. In that moment. In those 10 minutes maybe that I have behind closed doors to just sit and meditate in the presence of God. It's like for me that woman receiving the miracle. It's like their sons watching the oil pour. And that deep, immense, overwhelming sense of the message of good news coming in power, coming in love, coming in substance upon me. It's also taken me a long time to separate for myself the ways of Jesus away from the ways of the church. Church can sometimes sort of a wee bit like the Pharisees did with the law of the Old Testament. They sort of it all changed and it gets separated from its original purpose. And so the ways of Jesus sometimes in some churches get separated away and they come up with their own set of ways to follow. Well, it takes time for me. It's taken time for me to realize that the ways of God are good. The ways of Jesus are pleasant. And the ways of Jesus are perfect. The way of love. And it's a way that goes far beyond words. We must always know that words are only a form of communicating the message. But it's a message of power. It's a message of substance. And the message of Jesus is not a message of doom and gloom. Following Jesus is not a time of doom and gloom. There will be times of physical doom and gloom. Yeah, definitely. No, maybe even more so than people who don't follow Jesus. But within, behind closed doors, There needs to be times of substance and times of power when the message goes beyond words for us. The story of Elisha will go on, and we'll see many, many more instances of wonderful things being done through him. And I just think, just as on a closing note, that, you know, as we think about taking the good news, this is just a word sort of from me to you, because we're all different. I've always struggled to share the good news of Jesus with people, because I always feel as though I'm sharing the bad news of Jesus, the message from the past. I remember being dressed up in my suit and taken down to the Mickey clock for a month, the month of July. You know, the month that all your friends from school are about. That month. You know, when you sit with all the ladies with their hats on and sing all these songs, you know, those popular pop songs. We went and we did open airs for a month as a church, and it's wonderful. You know, these guys are sincere. They were sincere about wanting to share the love of Jesus. But for a young boy growing up, it did not feel like good news. This was doom and gloom. And so if I met someone down the street and I was sharing Jesus with them, I'm immediately transported to being that boy in that suit back at the Mickey clock and just going, oh, I want to be out of here. I want to be out of here. And so it's a struggle for me to share Jesus with people on a one-to-one basis like that, which you might find funny for someone who finds it so easy to stand up and preach. But on a one-to-one, I find it very difficult. Anyway, where to start with that? Yes, taking the message of Jesus, the words that we use are only a form of communicating the message of Jesus. We need to take it like Jesus, to bestow value and worth upon people by spending time with people. We need to do it by sharing love with people. We need to do it by taking the kingdom of God, which is a lot more than words. It's about freedom. It's about healing. It's about being set free. I've already done that one. It's about something else that I have written down. It's about goodness in their lives. So the communication of the message definitely shouldn't be just about words, but about so much more, and lifting people out of the doom and gloom of this world. I'm going to close with a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing about shouting out from the rooftops. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you that you're a living God. Lord, that your word is a living word. And Lord, your message to us, whether it's delivered through the songs that we sing, maybe it's delivered through what I have shared, maybe it's delivered through what a prophet tells us. But Lord, your message is not about words. It's about you who are behind the words. It's about you coming in power. It's about you coming in substance into our lives and delivering us, setting us free from the debts, setting us free from the captivities that we are in bondage to. So Lord, I just pray that tonight, even though there's only a handful of us, most of us Christians here, but Lord, that you would come and you would reach down with that message of power, with that message of substance into our life. And Lord, continue that process of setting us free. Lord, I thank you personally that you set me free from the bondage I was in. Bondage to the world, bondage to sin, bondage to death, but also bondage to saying that you were a God of doom and gloom. But rather, thank you, Lord, that you showed yourself to be a God of love, God of passion, a God of life. And so, Lord, we just commit this time to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.